Most of you who are listening to this shir, I assume will be listening sometime during the 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And I'd like you to imagine the following scene. Let's say you're davening some little minyan somewhere, and they forgot that during those 4 days you don't say tachanun. So it's a regular day, so they say tachanun. And later on somebody comes in and says, hey, you shouldn't say tachanun, don't say tachanun in these 4 days. What would be your reaction? Would it be, okay, so we say tachanun, big deal, right? Or would you say, what does that mean? I feel so cheated. These days are days of such simcha, and now I'm all depressed because I said tachanun this morning. Rachem v'chanun chotosi. I suspect that if you're like most of us, you'll be able to get over it. And that is part of our schleppishness in experiencing the Jewish gestures that we do. Some of you may have seen the book which I put out recently, what's it called, Awake at the Wheel, where I try to be masbir some of the things that we do anyway Jewishly every day and try to understand what they're all about. But how many of us are really, when we say tachanun, well, we're broken and we're just very, very sad. And we feel cheated if we say tachanun on a day when we shouldn't have said tachanun, even the short tachanun, because it was supposed to be happy and now the tachanun made me sad. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you might say tachanun doesn't make me sad and the absence of tachanun doesn't make me happy. It's just something that I do or don't do and it doesn't make so much difference to me. So that's a little musa to start off with. Not musa to you, Rachmana Litzlan, but certainly musa to me. I used to be the Rebbe in Philadelphia, and the late and very, very, very choshuva Dr. Eskowitz used to daven in the yeshiva. Lived near the yeshiva, and he davened in the yeshiva. So if a chosen came and davened in the yeshiva, and especially on Monday and Thursday, and we didn't say tachanun, he had tainus. He said, "Look, you didn't let us say tachanun." Most people said, "No, we have a chosen, we don't have to say tachanun." But this wasn't Elie Chayit. He said, you took away my tachanun. It's just a marshal of how an Elie Chayit might act. I'll call upon him. It's interesting. The Mishnah Brura brings that you don't say tachanun, but it doesn't say why in Tov Resh Chof Dalet. Maybe it's Tov Resh Chof Hei, I don't remember. So that you don't say tachanun, but it doesn't say why. And I looked in Reb Chaim Kanievsky's sefer, forget now the name for the moment. He also just brings it, but doesn't say why. Finally, I looked in the Or HaShulchan, and Or HaShulchan does say. So what does it say? He says like this, Euchlem b'shoysem u'smeichem b'moitzo yoyim ha-kippurim v'al ki yoytze bo zeh ne'ma lo lech echol b'simcho ki kvarotu elokim v'z ma'asecho. It's a mitzvah on Yom Kippur night to eat b'simcho, lech echol b'simcho l'achmecho ki kvarotu elokim v'z ma'asecho v'nechshov ki k'tzaz yontov Yom Kippur night v'ein oimrim tachanun b'ein yoyim ha-kippurim l'sukkos. Because kulam nechshovim yemei simcha, they're yemei simcha, and if they're yemei simcha, we don't want your simcha spoiled by tachanun. Now, tachanun has its time, but not when the tzura of the day are yomim of simcha. And I'm trying to understand why these 4 days are called yomim of simcha. Is it a sort of a continuation of Yom Kippur? Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael was zolcha to mefilas avoinas, and that is a grace of simcha, a big simcha, and therefore we continue the simcha like during the day of Yom Kippur. So the inuyim, so it's not a time of simcha, but at night when you're allowed to eat, So now we're sort of taken up by the simcha of this experience that we've had, and so it's a continuation of Yom Kippur, or is it an anticipation of Sukkot? So usually we don't say Tachanun if at night is a Yontov, like by Pesach it doesn't happen, because anyway during Nisan we don't say Tachanun, and by Shavuos it doesn't happen, you have the Shlosh Me'Hagbola. I'll call upon him, was it us? The Orach HaShulchan at least tells us why we don't say Tachanun. We don't say Tachanun because they're Yimei Simcha, but it doesn't explain why they are Yimei Simcha. Is it a continuation of Yom Kippur, or is it an anticipation of Sukkot? So what is it? Like those of us who are happy during these 4 days, most of us I guess would answer, if somebody would ask us, are you happy? You might say, I haven't had a chance to think about it, I'm so busy. Sukkah has to come up and the minim have to be bought. I don't have an esrog, I don't have a lulav. I don't bother me with happy. But the vice is not that way. These are days where apparently we are supposed to be supremely happy, and which is the reason why we don't say Tachanun. So what makes us so happy? I have a suggestion to make, and I'd like to share it with you, which gave me this year, at least while I was thinking about it, a new appreciation of what's happening in this Yerach HaEsonim, that you have Rosh Hashanah, you have Yom Kippur, you have Sukkot. Is there any relationship? Is there any relationship between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot? Now, you've heard me quote from the Pachat Yitzchok or Futnas, the Ma'amorim, so I've seen some of those, and I've sort of become a chunach from them to think of the Sholosh Regolim as one Ma'arocha, and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as another Ma'arocha. Actually, it could be that there is also a different aspect where there is a blending between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, which means between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the Sholosh Regolim. Now, I'm thinking of a Rashi in Emma. Now, I think we may have mentioned that before, but it's kedai to be ma'ayin a little bit and see what's going on over here, and if we're right and if we can absorb what we're going to be learning now, it'll make us have a celebration of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres and Yetzer Hashem, which is perhaps more than it's been in the past. And certainly I anticipate that it will be so for me, because I've learned things which I didn't know anything about. So you know the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, it says Zichrona, it's in Shofaros, it says in connection with Rosh Hashanah, but not Malchios. Malchios we either learn from the Chatzaitzrots, we don't need to go into details, or from the Posuk immediately before Rosh Hashanah in Emma, Uvukotzechem eskitzia atzechem loisachale pa'as sodcho bukotzrecho, where is it? And from that we enter Rosh Hashanah. So I can't rid myself of the impression that Malchios seems to be less involved in Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Hashanah seems to be less involved in Malchios than in Zichronos and Shofaros. Because Zichronos and Shofaros, it says on the day, Yom Zichron Teruah, but Malchios you learn from Posuk in Peah. I never asked myself, why is that Posuk of Peah over here? And if I did ask myself, I probably answered to myself, well, it's on Shavuos, right before Rosh Hashanah you have Shavuos, that those are the Psukim in Emma dealing with Shavuos, and Shavuos earlier in Mishpatim, I think, is called the Chag HaKotzir, so it's the time of harvesting, of cutting down the corn. And so it's fitting that during Shavuos we should hear that Uvukotzuchem eskotzir atzuchem loisachale pa'asotcho bekotzrecho. That's how I explained it, and I didn't spend much time thinking of like this limud, a funny kind of limud, that the limud is not from what it says on Rosh Hashanah, but from what leads into Rosh Hashanah. In other words, it's the last pasuk of Shavuos, not the first pasuk of Rosh Hashanah, which reads, that's how Rosh Hashanah is introduced, and this pasuk of Peah comes before that pasuk, so it's not in Rosh Hashanah, it's in Shavuos. That it's a good idea to learn Malchus from Peah, I have no doubt about that, because this idea, especially by as Matnas Aniyim, the Leket Shikra and Peret and Oilers, which come together with it, and Kedoshim, as we'll see in a moment. So, you know, there the din is that you don't have Tovus HaNoah, you can't give it to any Oni. You're Bechlal, not a Balabas, it's just Tazov. Leon will agar Tazov or some. Your field is open. You can't stop the Aniyim from coming in. They can come in and they can walk around and they can choose this and they can choose that, as long as it falls into the character of Peah and Lekashik from Peah or Peret and Oilers. Yeah. That is Malchus. It's saying that look, this is your field. That's what you thought. Yeah? You have to leave these and these and these for the Oni, and you can't stop them. There's nothing you can do. The Oni wants to come in, and he's a nasty Oni, and he's never polite. And when he comes knocking at your door during the year, he always has something nasty to say. And you made up and said, this guy is not going to get any more penny from me. Comes like a chick from a pay, he comes into the field, and you say, Gag, you please get out. So he says, no, you have no bailus to send me out. I have the bailus to come in. It's a strange kind. It's not like the trumas where you have the tuvas hanor stalker that you give. People come to the door. You can either give them or not give them. You give them more. You can give them less. Here you bechlal have nothing to do with it. Ta'azal by some, yours is not yours, and that is pure malchus. So you learn malchus from there, but it's not apparently a Rosh Hashanah dikadin. You learn it from the smichus apashios. Very, very interesting. So, what does Rashi say over there? So, the dark truth, which I have to admit now, is that I had no idea, and I didn't know this Rashi, which I'm ashamed of. But the earlier in Kedoshim, in the last Seder, you already had this pasuk. Here, I marked it earlier, the beginning of Kedoshim. What does it say? That's in chapter Yutes, Posuk Tes. Good to you what it says by us in Emma. Then there's a little difference. Same thing, except not connected to Shavuos. By us, it's at least geographically connected to Shavuos. It's in the Pasha, but we'll see in a moment that it's not so Pashut. So it already says this thing. So what is this Pasuk telling us? That's Rashi's Kashya. Uvekotzrechem, Chozar v'shono, Lava aleihem b'shnei laven. You have two laven. But, you know, the Rashi is not very demanding over here, so why do it like this, and why put it here? Listen to this. Omar Rav Avdimai b'Rav Yosef. Ma ro'o ha-kosov. Listen carefully to this Rashi, because you have to be medayik in the Rashi to see the full impact of what it is. Rav Avdimai b'Rav Yosef. Ma ro'o ha-kosov litno be'emtso ha-regolem. Pesach v'atzeres mikan. Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha-kipurim v'chag mikan. Lelamdachos, Shekol Hanoisen, Lekat Shikro, Peer Leoni, Kavoe, Malin, Olof, Kiilu, Bonaves, Amikdash, Vehikrov, Kobonoisov, Besoifer. Now, what's the kashya which this Rav Avdima is asking? Ma ro hakosov litno beemtso regolem. Now, what does that mean? What his kashya is, what's it doing beemtso regolem? I said before, look, it's true that it doesn't seem to fit in so very well over here, because our Pasha of Shavuos in Emor doesn't mention anything about Shavuos as a Chakka Kotzer. That's mentioned earlier. It doesn't mention it over here. Over here, it only talks about the Shtei Alechem. Doesn't mention one tiny word about that it's a harvest festival of any kind. But still, it does seem to be a reasonable assumption to say that the Pasuk says it over here, because that's when you do it. And Shavuos is the harvest festival of the Kotzer, and that's why it says, and by the Kotzer you have to leave over Leket and Peah. But you see clearly from Rabbi Dima's Kasha that he doesn't learn like that. He says, why does the Torah plunk this Pasuk over here? It doesn't belong here. A, because we already learned it in Kedoshim, where it's not connected to any time. It just tells you, whenever you do the Kotzer, you're supposed to leave Peah. But over here, Lechayr, it's part of Shavuos. He doesn't seem to think so. It's not part of Shavuos. It's plunked over here in the middle of nowhere. Why? That's unbelievable. What's implied in that question? So now we have this Pasuk of Peah over here, not tidily associated with Shavuos, which precedes Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you can look upon it as going from there to Rosh Hashanah Ki'ilu. No! It doesn't have a place over here. What's it doing over here? What is the answer? Because it's here that it's in the middle of the following sequence. And what is that? Litno be'emtza horegolim, which is a funny lotion to use, because Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are not regolim. Now, Pesach v'atzeres mikan, Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha'kippurim v'hachag mikan. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Now, for transparency's sake, I've got to be honest and say that not all editions of Rashi have this word v'achag. I have this Chumash, Tiferes Torah, I think it's called, which bring all the chilufe gyesois in Rashi. Very, very wonderful work. Very, very, very instructive. And if there's 6, 7, 8, 9 manuscripts and early printings, they bring them all. And over here, they do bring many, 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 and some of them have nothing mentioned about Sukkot, which makes the regolim word in the question rather suspect. But some do have, either they say Chag or Chag HaSukkot or Sukkot, but they do mention in my Chumash, which I'm using, one of those, they call it the Mekor's, the blue ones, call it the Mekor's Gedolos Chumash. Torah's Chaim, it's called. So there they have V'achag, and that makes more sense because it's said Be'emtza HaRegolim. But what surprises me is, how does Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur come in here? This is the only time that I know. Doesn't mean there may be dozens of others, I just don't know them. But I cannot think of any other place where Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is sort of melded into the Sholosh Regolim. I don't know where else they do that. And what is it saying? It's saying that this payah does not belong here, really, but it's here for a purpose. Alright, we don't have to be going to the what it's really teaching us, that somebody who gives tzedakah to an oni is like he built a Beis HaMikdash and brought korbanos there. Why is it like that, and how do we learn it like that? It's not so much nageya to us. What's nageya to us is that there seems to be a connection between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Yeah? The second half, the first half is Pesach and Atzeres before, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur and Sukkot after. So you're putting Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur together with Sukkot. I think that we'll see in a moment what where I'm trying to get. But as a general, just because I don't want to forget it later on, I asked a question that the Oruch HaShulchan does not tell us why they are Yimei Simcha. Is it Yimei Simcha as a holdover from Yom Kippur, or is it Yimei Simcha because of an anticipation of Sukkot? And I think, and that is what is going to be the point of the Shir today, and I think that the answer is that there's no difference between those two tzedakim, because Yom Kippur and Sukkot meld with each other. Yom Kippur and Sukkot, I think that it's reasonable to say from the evidence that Yom Kippur is a hakdama ki'ilu to Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is a hakdama to Sukkot. My thesis is going to be that I asked people, I asked friends, what is the most significant year in the Jewish calendar? What is the most significant year? So those who were conservative with the lowercase c, well, they didn't want to say Grace of Hedushim, so Yom Kippur, there's no stuff, Yom Kippur is the greatest day. Those who wanted to say Chabzat Purim, because Yom Kippur is only Kippurim. I think that the answer is, I really think at this point, I don't know whether I'm right, but I'm suggesting it and you'll make a decision. I think that the most significant day in the Jewish calendar is Shmini Atzeres. I have no suffix about it. And I really think that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are there to prepare us for Sukkot and Yom Kippur and Shmini Atzeres. I'll explain that. The Yesod of Yom Kippur, I think that some of you who are regular listeners to the shiur will remember I didn't say shiur on Yom Kippur. The reason is I'm not because I didn't say, I did say, but I didn't, I just erased it. I didn't think it was I didn't have the right to say such a shiur, and I just didn't feel comfortable with it, and so I erased it. But one aspect which I do feel is accurate is that Lemaisa, you see that the Kapora of Yom Kippur is a Kapora that's addressed to the Tzibur, not to the Yochid. Now, that has to do, of course, we all know that the Ikle Kapora of Yom Kippur is the Soya Mishkaleach, and that's certainly a Tzibur Dikedin. Question is, what does the Rambam mean in Hilchos Tshuva when he says that now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, Ein Lono Elo Tshuva? So does that mean, so now we move from a Tzibur to each Yochid, whether or not he does Tshuva? Or does it mean we can't be sort of melded together into the Tzibur just without anything because we don't have the Soya Mishtaleach? So the answer is, but the entrance fee is tshuva. If you do tshuva, then you're part of that tzibur. You're part of that tzibur, and the yontif is still addressed to the tzibur. I don't want to go into the protein too much now about that. I just want to be merames that, for example, I brought a raya for that from the fact that Chag Gemara says that when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim, he's mechape even on Avak Lashon Hara. Although usually Lashon Hara, the Me'il is Mechape, but on Avak Lashon Hara, there is no Kapora the rest of the year because Kulam Bavak Lashon Hara, but on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim. So the Maral says, like Islam Malach, it's not an autumn. Kulam Bavak Lashon Hara means all humans. At that point, he's not a human. The way I understand that is that at that point, yeah, how could he be misvade? His misvade on the whole of Klal Yisrael, Chotu, Ovu, Poshu. How can he be misvade? The Bidui needs, the Rambam says in Perek Beis, it needs a charote, it needs aziva zached, it needs kabole lehabo. Like what he doesn't even know the people. So what can he say? What does it all mean? Weist is. I just mentioned this. Those of you who are interested should follow it up because it's really very, very interesting. If you look in Hilchos Melochim, all the way at the end of the Mishneh Torah, where he talks about the covert that is noyeg with the melech, so there's the whole perek there. I think it's the second perek or the third perek in Hilchos Melochim. So it turns out like this, that the melech has to sit and everybody else has to stand, things like that. But there's an exception to that. The exception is the Kohen Gadol. Weist euch that the Kohen Gadol does not have to be mechaved the Melech in the same way as other people do. There seems to be some kind of equality. Now, I don't know the sugyas really well, so I can't really say, look, a shtickel Torah, a shtickel Lomdus, this is the Tzvei Din, and this is the Din Melech, and the Din Kohen Gadol, I don't know. But the Maisa, it turns out that although the Rambam suggests that he is Noyeh covered more or less like other people, but Me'ikah Din, it seems that he's not Mechuyev in the same way. And I said to myself, I thought to myself, that the word is like this. Later on, the Rambam says over there, by the Isser to take too many wives, Al Hasoras Libay Hikpido Atoy, or something like that. Because Libay Hu Leiv Shel Klal Yisrael, that the Melech is Klal Yisrael. His heart is a public heart. It's the heart of Klal Yisrael. And it seems to me, from the fact that the Kohen Gadol is able to be Mitzvadeh for the whole of Klal Yisrael, that his Libay is also the whole of Klal Yisrael at a different level. The Melech at a national level, the Kohen Gadol at a Mamleches Kohen of a Goy Kodesh, the kind of level. But the Kohen Gadol Ki'ilu is a Melech in the same way that the Melech is a Melech over that whichever his Malchus extends. And the Melech, he can be Mitzvadeh for everybody. Because everybody is in him, and when he goes into the Kodesh Kodashim, he's bringing Klal Yisrael with him, and Klal Yisrael as a Klal are Elyonim. Yaakov Avinu saw to that when he made the deal with Esav. So Mimela as Elyonim, you can have Kapora even on Avak Lashon Hara, even on Avak Lashon Hara. And there's the vidui, that he can be mitzvade for everybody. Vidui of tshuva needs kabbalah labo. Where's your kabbalah labo? Where's your charota? The teretz is, I think, that it's poshut, that when the Kohen Gadol is mitzvade, this is Klal Yisrael being mitzvade. What a leiv! What a leiv! Shelibay hu libay shel Klal Yisrael. There, the vidui itself is unmistakably involved with Charota and with Kabbalah Labo. It's all there, simply by saying it. At such a level, you don't have to articulate it. I'll call upon him. That is what I think. So, Lemaisa, it turns out that Yom Kippur is a Tzibudike kind of thing. What's it doing there? What's Rosh Hashanah doing there in the middle between Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot? I think now the following, again, please be ma'ayin yourself and see whether you can agree with this. It seems to me, from the way the psukim are organized and what's happening, is that the real Tamlichuni Alechem, the real Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim, is on Shavuos, by the harvest. When a Yid leaves this one stalk of Peah, one stalk, what's he leaving one stalk for? The Oni is going to have a Kreis of Simcha with one stalk. The Teretz is, it's not there for help the Oni. The part that helps the Oni, that's in Kedoshim, Matas Aniyim. And that, Avada Gevizah Bal Seichel will not leave one stalk, he'll give a lot, 60 or 40 or 50, whatever it is. But the Torah was talking about Eilid Vorm Sheinem Shia, one stalk. What's the good of one stalk? You know what the good of one stalk? Malchus. Shavuos is Malchus. Atem tiyu li mamleches koyanim v'goy kodesh. That's what happened by Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, the Rebbein Shem said, you are now a mamleches koyanim. And the mamleches koyanim has a melech. So on Shavuos, we are mamlech the Rebbein Shem. What's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Im hulefon ha malchi is kadesh etam lichuni alechem. I think that what it means is that Rosh Hashanah and then the Kapora of Yom Kippur is there to ready us for Sukkot, because I think that the peak of the Jewish year is Sukkot and then Shmini Atzeres, and I'll explain to you what I mean. What do I mean? Are you ready? Im Rufon Malchus Kadesh Tam Lichuni Alechem means that you continue, that what you did on Shavuos you continue doing. Remember, it says it in Shavuos, it doesn't say it in Rosh Hashanah, but it has to be Samach. And it tells us that Rosh Hashanah comes, so you check on Malchus. Why do you check on Malchus? Because we're heading for Sukkos. And we're heading for Sukkos, you have to be a chelek of Klal Yisrael. You accomplished that when you were mamlich with the Rabbeinu Shlalom on your Shavuos, with the leaving the payer. And now Rosh Hashanah, there's a din on that. And Yom Kippur comes along and says, you want to be from the Elyonim? I'll give you kapora. What do I mean? That Sukkos is the greatest day. I'll tell you what I mean. I think that Sukkos is also Tzibur Dikadem. When the Gemara says that you're Yotze in a Sukkos She'ula, because it says in the Pasuk, Kol Ha'Esra B'Yisrael Yeshu B'Sukkos, I don't remember the exact Pasuk, that Melamed, that Kol Yisrael is Roy to sit in one Sukkah. That's a strange way of putting something. I mean, that's the way you're going to tell us that She'ula is kosher. What does it mean? Now, I don't say Ushpizen. I don't know. My father didn't say them. I don't think in Frankfurt they said Ushpizen. I don't know. But we don't have the minute. But I ask myself, yeah. Let us say I would say Ushpizen. So Avraham Avinu is going to come visit Moshe Eisenman, Yitzchok, Yaakov. What do I have to offer them? The Torah says they're going to come to visit Klal Yisrael, that in every sukkah the whole of Klal Yisrael is sitting. That is what it is. You know what a sukkah is. I want to tell you something. Again, there's another minhag which I don't have. Again, I didn't see it by my father, but I know that the Yidden, I don't know whether it's brought in, I just don't know, I didn't look, but some people I think are noyeg to make the nanuim in the sukkah before they go to shul. They're going to go to shul, davening is at 8 o'clock, whatever it is, so 7:30 they go into the sukkah and they make the nanuim in the sukkah. I never understood that. What's the nanuim got to do with the sukkah? The Teretz is, oh, does it have to do with the sukkah? Now I'll explain it now and then we'll finish the shiur because it's going to be too long. What is the sukkah? Do you know what the sukkah is? Of course we're the whole of Klal Yisrael. The sukkah is that there's no hefsek between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a diras arai. It's a diras arai. We are there. We are elyonim. This is where the deal between Yaakov and Esav comes to its fruition. We are by the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's nothing mafsek between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is what sukkah is. And that has to do with the whole of Klal Yisrael. That has to do with the whole of Klal Yisrael who are me elyonim and don't belong in this world at all. We've covered that in various other shiurim. That is the sukkah. Rabbi said, that is the sukkah. We're sitting in the sukkah. We are living through. We are living through the emes, which we rest of the year we know only in theory. We know only in theory. But here we're living through it. We're actually living. Basukas teishvu shivas yamim. Kol ezra b'Yisrael. You have to be yoshev in the sukkah, in the anane kovet. What kind of business is that? Yidden living in the anane kovet pitam. Wow, pitam. The teretz is yes, because elyonim live in the anane kovet. This is Judaism at its peak. Except one thing is missing. That will come on Shmini Atzeres. But, yeah, that's what we're talking about. What about the nanuim and making them in the sukkah? Well, I was going to make that the ikkah of the shiur, but there's really no time. Those of you who got a hold of the book that I published recently, what's it called again? The Awake at the Wheel. So I have a chapter over there about the nanuim. I have to apologize. I noticed that there's a switch in the pages, page 128 and 129. I'm in the wrong order. My apologies. There's been some carelessness in the proofreading. But Azedas. So what are the Nanuim? What are the Nanuim? So Bekitza, I want to tell you that I think that the Nanuim are as follows, and that will tackle lead us into Shmini Atzeres. I think that the Nanuim are as follows. Yeah, the Maral's number system, we've mentioned it many times. 6 is Olam Hazeh. Why? Because Olam Hazeh, the Moshel of Olam Hazeh, is the cube, north, south, east, west, up, down. Those are the directions, those are the cardinal points of the compass, and also up and down. That is what the cube is. That's six. What's 7? 7 is that in the middle of the cube there is an imagined point at which the Shekhinah is there. It introduces the Shekhinah into our physical world, that Shabbos and all the other 7, Shemitah and so on. So that's an imagined point within the cube. So one day when I was learning that Maral, it suddenly struck me that when we're standing there making the Nanuim, so relative to north, south, east, west, up and down, we are where the Shekhinah is. At the center of those planes, north, south, east, west, up, down, at the center point between that, that's where I am. I'm making the Nanuim. And I'm shaking him this way, and I'm shaking him that way, and I'm shaking him up and down, I can't surpass it. What am I doing? So I think this I did mention before in earlier years, what I think, what's happening by the Nanuim, because the two Midrashim, one Midrash says that the Pri Etzhoda, Zeh Yisroel, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kapas Temorim, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pri Etzhoda, Hu Hoda Bilvushai, the Kapas Temorim, is who I made, whatever the Pesukim are, by the Hadassim, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who I made Ben Hadassim, the Arava, they're all Meramis on the Rebbein Shalom. Each one of the Abba Minim is Meramis on the Rebbein Shalom. The other Shetter is that it's Meramis to Yisrael, right? Pri Etz Hoda, that's the heart, the Kapas Temorim, the spine, Dasim, the eyes, Arava is the mouth. So it turns out that when I hold the Abba Minim in my hand, there's a total melding between the Rebbein Shalom and Klal Yisrael. Each one of the Abba Minim stands for both the Rebbein Shalom and for Klal Yisrael. Chadhu, in a real, real, real sense. So what do? I'm Menanea. When I'm Menanea, remember I'm standing inside an imagined cube, and the cube has a plane on its eastern side. I take my lulav and Esrik, my weapons, like the other Medrash says, that the guys who come out from the Din Torah, you know who's been successful, the one who carries the lulav, the front from the palm. It's a whole big parsha. If you want to look at this book which I published recently about the Awake at the Wheel. So there are two chapters over there on Sukkot, and the one deals with the Nanuim. You'll see there more Protim if you're interested. But Lemaise is, what am I doing is, I'm going and taking this melding of the Rebbein Shalom and Klal Yisrael and zapping it to the Gashmias of the East and of the West and of the North and of the South. That is what I'm doing. I'm taking this weapon, which is that Rebbein Shalom and Klal Yisrael are together, and with that I'm trying to smash the total Gashmias that is Merumas in the cubes. You have to think these things through a little bit, but it's a Magad Gazach. And just today, when I was thinking about all this, it suddenly struck me, kumt doch ois, that the Nanuim, first of all, belonging to the Sukkah. What did we say? What was the Sukkah? The Sukkah was that I'm Chatu with Rebbein Shalom, I'm from the Elyonim, according to the contract with Esav. That is what we're living through on Sukkot. What gives me the right to sit there? The Nanuim give me the right to sit there. The Nanuim, where I take this oneness, this chadu, between the Rabbeinu Shem and Klal Yisrael, and I use it to zap the east and the west and the north and the south. I'm fighting the physicality. So that belongs into the sukkah, because it's the na'anuim which make us ready to live in the sukkah. I never was armed on that, but it seems to me that that is the right thing. It's the na'anuim which make it possible to sit in the sukkah. And finally, that makes the Shmini Atzeres. That is the peak of everything. The peak of everything is that that is the day. There's a part in Ramban. So the emes is, I'll tell you, I had a little fight with my Yetzirah, and for once I won, because that's the Ramban in Vayikra. That's Chof Gimel Mem, where it talks about the Abba Minim. And it's very, 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 very clear that these are very Kabbalistic in Yonim. After Pekane, there were certain phrases which made sense to me, and I was going to mention those. It's the day after Yom Kippur, 2 days after Yom Kippur. You've got to be in Erech Hayit. The Ramban says, Kindelach, when I'm talking Kabbalah, take my word for it, you don't understand. Don't give shiurim on my Kabbalistic things. Those of you who are listening to this year and are not Bale Kabbalah are not going to hear what the Ramban says over here, because I decided not to say anything. But if you look over there, you see this one phrase. I mean, that has made it out into the non-Kabbalistic world. I mean, everybody knows this phrase of the Ramban, that Shmini Atzeres doesn't need Abba Minim, because Hu Atzmai Hoda, the day itself, apparently that's what it means, and perhaps is Hoda. Kriya is Hoda. The day itself is Hoda. Why is the day Hoda? Could be that the Esrog is Hoda because it's Tam Eitzo Per Yoshov. There's nothing wasted. Tam. Everything is Tam. The Pri is Tam. The Eitz is Tam. And when you finally on Shmini Atzeres going to the house, which is Ki'ilu, that you're bringing the Limudim of the Sukkah into the house, and you don't need them anymore, because on Shmini Atzeres the house itself is Hoda. That is the peak of the Jewish year. Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shavuos, Matan Torah, the Hamloch of the Rabbeinu Sham, Mamleches Kohanim v'Goy Kodesh. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the test and the preparation for the grand finale. Sukkos is when we're home. And those 7 days that we sit in the Sukkah, those are our experience of being Elyonim down in this world. And that's why there's the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What's so gross about the Simcha? It's a big, big Simcha. Oh yes, it's a big Simcha. If we can live in a sukkah stick away for a week, that is a big Simcha. And then you come to Shmini Atzeres. Shh, everything is silent. No lulav, no sukkah, no nothing. Just being. Being by the Rabbeinu Shlomo, being where we're supposed to be, in our houses, and suddenly the houses are not in the way. Even if we have fancy furniture and these and things, then we spoil things for ourselves by the luxuries in which we indulge. On Shmini Atzeres, the Rabbeinu Shlomo seems to look away. It says, kids, you're home, and that's what concerns me. You are home as you bring the sukkah into the house. Everybody should be zeichet to a wonderful yontif, and we should be zeichet to really live through the sukkahs to the Shmini Atzeres, for us also Simchas Torah. These are very, very big days, and the Rabbeinu Shem should help us to experience them as they ought to be experienced.